Good afternoon.
Hi, Elias.
And how are you proceeding?
Never a dull moment.
How so?
You know, all kinds of little ups and downs, and we can talk about some of this. But, you know, actually, I heard your recent session with Jason, and I heard your wish, and your wish shall be granted today. Not gonna talk about the problems.
You may, if you are so choosing.
Well, that's the thing. I'm choosing not to, because I mean, we'll touch on them, but, you know, not from the angle of problem, more like from the angle of the developments and the, you know, the evolution that goes on through these experiences.
Very well.
First of all, I want to ask you, you know, I've been feeling what I think is your energy a lot more this past month, you know, in my throat and chin the way I used to. I'm not sure if what I'm kind of feeling, what I'm referring to is more so just me being aware and feeling the blue energy center, or if it was actually your energy.
My energy.
Okay. So I'm pretty clear again on what that feels like then. And I also noticed that big truck with blue wave energy written on it, those very words, and I noticed that.
Encouragement.
Yes. I had an interesting sound healing at a distance session with Karen, and it felt like it was a bit of a, you know, a festival of essence interactions and energies, and a lot was going on. It was kind of tricky for me to pick things apart and know what was what, but one aspect of the phenomena that struck me as that caught my attention, let's say, was it felt like a mix of Twyla and Tomkin energy. Like it would be soft like Tomkin, but moving in the pattern of Twyla. And I'm wondering if that impression is correct, that that would have been these two essences kind of merging and doing it together.
Yes, you are correct. Okay. I would express congratulations in that assessment.
Thank you. Yeah, it was different. This is the first time I noticed it like that. Sound frequencies and vibrations. I had asked you some years ago, I think, whether the effects of sounds were more so belief-based, or if they had actual properties like stones and crystals have, and you had replied that it was more so belief-based. And more recently, Karen asked you if sound frequencies, you know, were the effects were a belief, or if they had actual properties, and you replied that the sound frequencies are a truth, express truth in consciousness. And initially, that created a confusion for me, but then I figured it out, and that's what I want to validate with you. If there is an actual vibration coming from an acoustic instrument, for example, the vibration is expressing truth and an actual property, but the sound that is audible, the whatever effect we might attribute to that, is that's the part that's relative and belief-based. But the vibration that you can feel physically, that would be the aspect that is expressing the truth. Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct. I am acknowledging of you. That is definitely correct, and that is the distinction. The sound is not necessarily what is affecting, and the sound does not necessarily incorporate any actual properties in itself. But the vibrational quality, yes, that is a truth. And that can be translated into any area of consciousness, which is what makes that a truth. Now, in your reality, some vibrational qualities are translated into sound. Not all of them, but some. And in that, the vibration can be affecting, the sound is not necessarily.
And let's say that I have an acoustic instrument and it emits a sound, but it also emits a vibration, and that vibration would have that particular effect. Now, if we record that instrument and play it on a speaker afterwards, the speaker will also emit a vibration, but I would guess that that vibration is not the same thing as coming from the instrument itself.
You are correct. It changes. It is not that there isn't a vibration. There is, but it is a different vibration. And therefore, it would not necessarily incorporate the same effect because the vibrational quality is different.
I have these tuning forks here. One of them is tuned to the frequency of 174 hertz. That's the vibrational frequency. Can we therefore say, you know, the same way that we've been discussing about specific properties for different stones, can we say, well, 174 hertz as a specific quality or property?
Now that is somewhat tricky. Does it have a quality? Yes. But how that is translated can be different in different situations. Therefore, yes, it has a specific quality. Let me express to you, in relation to stones, they incorporate qualities that are translatable into actions. Therefore, when we use that terminology of quality in relation to a stone, it is similar to expressing a personality with an individual or with a being, let us say. Mm-hmm. That the stones have specific qualities that are, in a manner of speaking, similar to personalities. Therefore, how they express themselves with a vibrational quality, it actually is a quality. It isn't necessarily a thing. And it isn't necessarily a personality or an expression or an action. Therefore, it can be translated differently dependent upon the situation or dependent upon how it is being used. Therefore, a vibrational quality can be used in different situations and produce different results. The constant is the quality itself.
And how could we qualify such a quality? For as an example, maybe just like with this one, 174, or what would be an example of the quality that we could qualify or attribute to it?
What I would say is the manner in which you can quantify it is in intensity.
Okay.
Not in action. Or not in result, because that is a variable, that is changeable. But in relation to intensity, what I would express is the higher the number, the greater or the denser the intensity. The lower the number, the less density of intensity there is.
And to interact with physical matter, such as the body, would a lower frequency typically, would that be easier, let's say, to kind of penetrate the physical structure, or not necessarily?
In actuality, in relation to physical bodies, that includes animals, not only humans.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there is somewhat of a intermediate or medium range of intensity that would be effective or would be penetrable.
And what would that correspond to, a medium range in terms of hertz?
I would say between 90, 95, and perhaps 500.
Oh, okay. That's that gives us a ballpark. Thank you.
I would expect that in relation to physical bodies, if you move into lower vibrational qualities, then the bodies are less responsive, with a few exceptions. There are a few exceptions, but not humans. And when you move higher in frequencies, you lose the effectiveness also. For higher frequencies are too much and too intense for physical bodies, and lower frequencies are also too intense for physical bodies, with a very few exceptions.
Okay. In that range that you described, this man, Freddy Silva, pretty interesting fellow. He must have some Sumafi in him. does he?
Yes.
He said that they had been measuring the, I'm not sure how to term that, but some type of bass frequency in sacred sites and temple chambers, and that the frequency of 112 hertz comes, you know, back over and over, and it seems to be a key frequency. And according to him, it's a frequency that helps to shut down the thinking aspect. And I don't know what you would have to say about that. First of all, maybe would you be able to confirm that this frequency is actually present in many of these sites and chambers?
Yes.
And was that by design, or were they objectively aware of, not necessarily measuring this in hertz, but were they objectively aware to construct, you know, in a manner that would achieve that kind of effect, or did it just kind of happen without them being objectively going for that?
I would express that, were they objectively aware in attempting to achieve a dampening? Yes. Were they necessarily entirely objectively aware of what it does? Not entirely. I would express that there have been considerable superstitions and, in a manner of speaking, philosophies around that choice. But that, yes, it was intentional. I would express that as you approach those lower frequencies, it does incorporate somewhat of a dampening effect, in that it is lulling. It creates an effect that is almost hypnotic, which, if you are aware, hypnotic is merely a word for considerable relaxation.
Yeah.
But that does occur with physical beings in relation to lower frequencies. And I would express that then at a certain point, when you move into lower frequencies than that, then it begins to generate a situation that is similar to the higher frequencies, in which physical bodies cannot process those frequencies in the higher and lower ranges.
But that frequency of 112 hertz, it falls in that mid-range that you were describing. So that would be...
In the mid-range, but it would be at the lower end of the mid-range.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Therefore, it falls in the mid-range to a point in which it can... be used, and it can be affecting, and the physical body will still be responsive to it, but it is in the lower realm of that range, and therefore it does incorporate that dampening effect.
This woman that created these tuning forks that I have, and she also over time elaborated a protocol, Karen had been asking you about it. My question in relation to that protocol is that she has determined that the energy field surrounding the body, I think generally speaking, it goes up to 6 feet or so. With the forks, she would make them resonate and kind of scanning the energy field for disturbances. And according to her, the closer you are to the physical body in the energy field, wherever there would be a disturbance, that disturbance would correspond to a time framework that would be more recent, and that the more outward you go in the energy field, that could correspond to, a disturbance that, in terms of linear time, occurred in the earlier years. Is the energy field of the human body actually structured like that, or is that more a type of focal point or just a method that she has elaborated to get information that would be valid, but is the energy field actually structured like that?
What I would say is more of the latter, that this is a method that she has developed and that she uses and is successful for her, and a method in which she translates. And therefore, in the manner in which she is translating, it is successful, and it is valid. As to is the energy field structured in that manner? Not actually, no. I would expect express that your energy field does fluctuate, and generally it does extend from the body consciousness between 3 and 6 feet. Now, it can fluctuate considerably beyond that. It can extend to 15 to 20 feet, or it can be retracted to the body consciousness to such a significant degree and can be so tight that it can extend merely a centimeter from the body consciousness, dependent upon what the individual is experiencing. Now, what I would say to you is that in relation to the structure of the energy field that surrounds your body, it does not interpret memory. Your body consciousness holds memory. Your energy field does not. Therefore, expressing that there are different structures in relation to the energy field that are correlated to time frameworks would be incorrect in relation to the actual structure of the energy field.
But could you kind of tap into that through the energy field, but it would actually be connecting to a point in the body?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's why the method could work if you approach it, you know, with that intention to work with it in that manner.
Yes. Now, what I would express is that it is very likely that the reason that method is successful for her, and the reason that she's translating it in that manner, is that your energy field is very responsive to whatever you are doing at any particular time or moment, and that could be ongoing times. And in that, if you are pushing away an experience or an emotional expression, then it is very likely that that aspect of energy would be pushed to the farthest point of your energy field, because you are pushing it away. What you think of as pushing down inside of you, or squelching inside of you, what you are actually doing is pushing that energy away. And you're pushing it as far away as you possibly can, which does push that energy to the furthest point of your energy field at any given point in time. Therefore, that may be what she is tapping into. Now, that in many situations, can correlate, and therefore it is understandable that she would be generating that type of translation, because in many situations, individuals are pushing away an experience or an emotional expression and a feeling that may have occurred at some earlier point in their life, and they become accustomed to pushing that away. That is that action that you think of, mm-hmm. or that you identify as holding that energy and pushing it down or squelching it.
A very popular yes. action here on Earth.
Yes, or burying it.
Yes.
That action very frequently for you is an action that you do over time, and therefore it is associated with a previous or an older experience. But it is not that your energy field is identifying a time. It isn't. It is not distinguishing any time factor. It is the intensity of how you are pushing that energy away.
I understand. Thank you.
You are welcome.
More energy questions. You know when people do energy healing with the hands and they do these gestures to remove negative energy and spots? I understand that that's a focal point. That's a method that is used to do that. I didn't used to do that, but I've begun recently to do it. But before I started to do that, where I was always kind of touching the body with my hands instead of, you know, working in the energy field, I would never remove energy. But I'm wondering, typically speaking, how could we qualify what was happening? Is it that I'm transmuting energy? I know there's an infusion, but beyond that, is there something else that's happening, like transforming the energy that's there?
I would express for you.
Yeah.
You interact with stones.
But sometimes it's just my hands, but
I'm understanding, but you are interacting with stones considerably, and therefore that also is another method, whether you intend it to be or not. I would express that in your interaction with stones, and as frequently as you do it, that there is an action that occurs of that absorption of the energy. And I would express that you either will allow yourself to release that energy in some manner, or you will do what you have done many times, and you will absorb it yourself.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that too.
And you will incorporate some physical manifestation or some affectingness with yourself in relation to holding that energy. I would express that, yes, many individuals that, if not most, that engage energy healing and they use their hands to be incorporating that action, they generally do generate some type of ritual to release that energy. Let me express to you that it matters not what they choose to do as an action, but there is an action required to release the energy. As I expressed to you previously, even with creatures, when they absorb energy from you or from other creatures, they generate physical actions to release it.
But if we just go back to the action of like using your hands, working in the energy field to remove energy, which is something that I've begun to do recently. If you look at what's been happening in the last couple of weeks with me, the times that I've been doing that, I can feel the energy now, like in the energy field. I feel the energy moving when I use my hands. Have I been effective at removing, quote unquote, negative energy in this manner? In a similar way than a rose quartz would do?
Yes.
So that's an effective way to
but
do it
express,
also.
It is important that you release that and not hold it. Because it is very easy to assume energy from another being and hold it.
Right, but if I'm doing that action, it is to release it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I was reading some of your earlier material recently about energy centers, and you made a point, and this is pretty much common knowledge anyway, but you were making a point that they're spinning clockwise. But Christoph apparently got a piece of information from you that his energy centers were spinning counterclockwise. And I have a couple of questions about that. First of all, were you referring to a behavior from the energy centers that was a long-term thing, or was that more a temporary occurrence? Second, the counterclockwise thing, was that happening in a way that was beneficial for him? And third, was that related to this process of regeneration that he is invested in?
Is it a permanent reversal? No. Is it a temporary reversal? Yes. Is it beneficial to him in what he is doing? Yes.
And is it related to regeneration?
Is it related to regeneration with him?
Yeah.
Partially, yes.
So on a general basis, you would not be advising people to start having their energy centers spin counterclockwise?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a bit about magic. I've become very obsessed, healthily interested in magic. The lapis vapor ritual, I guess we could call it, that was discussed some time ago. Putting the lapis in a silver bowl, did I gather that correctly, that would be an optimal combo?
Yes.
But wouldn't having a continuous stream of vapor be ideal for this kind of thing?
In relation to what?
Well, if you put this in a silver bowl, if you don't, I guess you have to kind of boil the silver bowl if you want the water in it to continue to emit vapor.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what you mean. You would heat up the whole silver bowl and with the lapis and the water in it.
Yeah.
So that the lapis is in the water is fine. It's not. It doesn't have to be kind of like above the water.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well.
But why would you be doing that continuously, or why would you want to do that continuously?
Well, I mean, not necessarily for an hour, but I just mean like for more than, if you put boiling water into the bowl and some vapor comes, maybe you want it to last a little bit longer than that. And so
I am understanding. What I would say to you is, no, it is not merely a matter of placing boiling water into the bowl. It is a matter of heating the bowl.
Okay.
But be aware that with this type of bowl, that it is important to be using diffused heat, because if you are generating too much heat, you will melt the bowl.
Right, so the bowl could be in water itself.
Yes, it could be.
Yeah, and you heat the water beneath the bowl, and there's more water in the bowl.
Yes, you could.
How were they doing it in ancient Egypt, typically?
I would express that what they did was incorporate a fire with a candle. And in that, incorporated a diffuser in between the bowl and the flame. Therefore, the diffuser, which generally was some type of metal,
yeah.
In that, using the diffuser, which would heat considerably hot, and that would emanate the heat to the silver, and heat the silver without melting it.
And typically they would be using silver bowls.
Yes.
I guess it must have been fairly mild mist if it's heated by a candle. Or it builds over time, maybe.
I would express that it depends on the candle.
Right.
And I would express that, yes, it is not a tremendous mist. It does not require a thick mist. It is merely a matter of generating that steam, that mist that is somewhat visible.
Okay. Right. It doesn't need to be like vapor like that you would get from full-on boiling of the water.
Correct. It is not necessary for it to be a rolling boil, but that the water is hot enough that it will begin to generate enough mist that you can see it.
And it's probably easier anyway not to have like that, you know, if you put your face in water and that's boiling a lot, it's not you're not going to stay there a long time.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think it's clear for me that, you know, all these different traditions in the world of magic spells and practices and rituals, their focal point, because the individual is the magic, not whatever, you know, method or whatever is being used outside. They invest themselves into all these spells and processes. But my question is, you know, when a large number of people perform a particular ritual or spell or things like that, doesn't that create a kind of pool of energy or energy deposit of some kind that we can tap into and then maybe kind of either more easily create that particular effect that's attributed to the ritual and or maybe it kind of enhances it in a way rather than doing your own spontaneous thing?
Of course.
Duh.
The more individuals that are involved, yes, the stronger the energy is. And therefore, yes, that would be affecting. And I would agree that it would be stronger than one individual generating.
But they're not necessarily doing it at the same time. I'm talking about a tradition. Well, I mean, right, there is no time. But I'm talking about the fact that there's a certain tradition established over centuries, and you got all these individuals that kind of are doing that across time, and that would create a gestalt of energy that we can tap into and therefore kind of maybe create more easily.
Yes.
Okay.
Precisely.
Okay. What would be your definition of magic?
I would express that magic is anything or any action or any expression that you can generate that is unbelievable.
And what,
anything that you can express that is unbelievable or impossible, that is magic.
Thank you. And what would be your definition of regeneration?
Regeneration. I would express that regeneration is the stimulation and the encouragement of the body consciousness in a capacity in which the actual cells are encouraged to continue in their natural function of cycling. Cells generate cycles in which they reproduce and they continue to reproduce, and as they continue to reproduce, the older cells, in a manner of speaking, die. They disintegrate in a manner of speaking. But as they disintegrate, new manifestations of cells continue to reproduce. And your body consciousness does that in a very natural manner, in which, generally speaking, a cycle for the entirety of the body consciousness to be creating entirely new cell generation incorporates approximately a time framework of 7 years.
Yep.
That within 7 years there are entirely new cells within your body consciousness. Now, this is a very natural expression, and what occurs as you age is that at a certain point, and it varies for each individual, in relation to your beliefs in regard to aging, you begin stopping or slowing that process of reproduction of cells.
Yeah.
And in that, regeneration is not the action of moving backward in time. It is the action of encouraging the body consciousness to function naturally in its reproduction of cells in its natural cycle, and to continue to do that fully and not to target certain cells to either slow or stop the reproduction of.
Mm-hmm. In relation to regeneration, what would you say for me would be the best substances to consume abundantly? Maybe a couple of these. I guess beside water.
What I would say to you,
yeah,
is it is not necessarily about what you consume.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the most significant piece,
okay,
in relation to longevity and regeneration. I would say to you that, yes, it is important to pay attention to your body consciousness. It is important to maintain health in your individual expression of it. But I would also express to you that there are other factors that are more important and are more contributing to regeneration and to longevity.
Physical activity being one of them.
To a degree.
Oh.
To a degree. But what I would express.
Yeah.
The two most important factors, more so than any other factor.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Are connections.
Oh.
Therefore, how much you connect and interact, and stimulation in relation to curiosity. And what is meant by that is curiosity in the capacity that encourages you to be expanding. That encourages you to be reaching for more.
Well, I got one of those two covered.
I would express that those are the two most significant and most important factors in relation to regeneration and longevity, that if you are expressing those two factors, then what you consume is not unimportant, but it is much less important.
And in other words, separation is the thing that kills.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would express that the more you maintain interactiveness and connection, the more you encourage the body consciousness to function naturally, and the more you express longevity.
Well, thank you so much. Maybe a few quick questions before we part.
Very well.
What would you say would be an ideal martial art for me?
And your impression and assessment?
I think not necessarily the more aggressive ones. Maybe something like Aikido.
I would express that it is very likely that you would enjoy that.
I don't know if we would classify Qigong as a martial art, but I guess that would also be a good practice.
I would.
And anything else that you would say would be even more ideal than these?
No, I would express that that would be very beneficial to you.
Okay. Is my focus musical tone E?
Yes.
Okay. And in relation to the tarot numerology, we had discussed, you know, number 1 to 10 and the court cards. What about the, you know, like 11, 12, 13, 14, the tens? What is the significance of that in the numerology, that second series there? Because, you know, there's 21 major cards, or 22. And so that series, like 11, 12, 13, when it's...
That is always, in numerology, a combination of single digits.
Okay,
there is no 10, 11, 12. It is always a combination of single digits. 1 plus 2, 1 plus 4, 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2. It is always a combination of single digits.
So the number 11 wouldn't be like an enhanced version of 1. It would be related to the qualities that we've discussed attributed to the number 2.
Correct.
Okay. But when we discussed number 10, that had different properties than number 1.
Correct.
But isn't 10 also 1?
Not entirely. But I would also express that even 1 plus 1, although it equals 2, the qualities are not simply 2.
And what would be the influence?
It would be slightly different than merely 2. For 1 plus 1 isn't merely 2. It is 1 plus 1. Therefore, it is slightly different. But for the most part, yes, it would be very similar.
So it would be the qualities of the two, but also some influences of the one.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and last question. How many years before Moncton in New Brunswick is flooded? You know, I won't be here, but I know people here, so.
Now that is a crystal ball question.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. Is that a place that within 10 years, the way you've been expressing about other places, that is that a city that would be in trouble?
I would express that it is likely that it will be affected, but I would also express that it remains to be seen how you classify it as in trouble.
Okay, well, I guess we can discuss this more another time.
Very well.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, my friend. I shall be anticipating our next meeting.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I am expressing encouragement to you and acknowledgement of how well you are proceeding.
Would you agree that, again, I've been, you know, more decisively on the pad of giving up the fight these past weeks?
Yes.
Good.
I would.
Okay.
And I would express congratulations.
Thank you. It's a lot more fun this way anyway. I mean, even if you are going to choke, why worry?
I very much agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Love you, Elias. Thank you.
And I express tremendous lovingness to you also, my friend. Until our next meeting, au revoir.
Au revoir.